Good morning and welcome to the June 23rd, 2020 Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals. We are having our first quasi or semi in-person meeting, which is nice to be back in the room, especially since we've been going so long during reconstruction. The new equipment looks great. Just want to put that on the record. And I can't wait until we can have everyone back in here to see it. Moving to our agenda, the first item is approval of the May 26, 2020 meeting minutes, which were distributed to the board last week. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes?
Yes.
All right. Are there any proposed changes to the minutes?
No.
Mr. Chairman, move they be approved.
All right, so move they be approved. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? All right, Mr. Simons, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Corsi, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Vineyard, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Ross, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Hitch, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Stone, how do you vote?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, as Mr. Marlin. All right, the minutes have been approved. The first item on our regular agenda is a request for two variances from the Chatham County sign ordinance at 102 Bryan Woods Road, and we'll hear from staff.
Lockdown began, and thank you for the board members that are present and the ones that are on the webinar link. We have endeavored to try to get meetings back in our regular place, so we're happy to be here with that. I should mention for the record that the board members who are not present in the building are online, so we do have a quorum today. In addition, we have petitioners that are on the webinar link. And we also have members of the public. And just for the board's sake, I'd like to remind the chair that when we recognize the petitioners, just please ask them to announce themselves, give their name, and what petition they're here for. We'll begin with our first item on today's agenda, our first item of regular business on today's agenda, which is a property at 102 Bryan Woods Road. The petitioner is requesting a sign height variance and a sign area variance for a existing office building at that location. The subject property is located at 102 Bryan Woods Road. It's at the southeast corner of the intersection of US Highway 80 and Bryan Woods Road. And as I mentioned, the property is developed with an existing medical office building. That building is currently under renovation, and the petitioner is also proposing to replace the existing monument sign on that property with a new sign. Going to open up an attachment to show here. While that's opening, as I mentioned, the proposed sign is an existing monument sign, and The proposed sign is 14 feet in height. As I mentioned, the east side of this intersection is developed with office uses, including the subject property. The west side is developed residentially, and there are no freestanding signs in that area. I should also mention that Brian Woods Road is identified in Section 4-12 of the Environmental Overlay Section of the Zoning Ordinance, which identifies it as a designated roadway. There are a number of designated roadways throughout Chatham County, in the southeast area and the islands community, that have different sign standards than the rest of the ordinance. This is a map showing the location of the subject property. Here at the southeast corner, there is an office building developed in this area as well, but other than that, it's primarily residential. There are some non-residential uses, including a restaurant in the immediate vicinity. This is an aerial photograph of the existing office building at this location. You can see the one of the existing freestanding signs, because there are two on this property. One is located here at the corner, and a smaller monument sign is located near the entranceway to the office complex. For some context of the area, this photograph is taken from Highway 80 as you approach Brian Woods Road. You can see the existing monument sign located here. This is a view of the proposed sign and proposed location of the new sign heading east. As you can see, it's a more of a pylon style sign. It is 14 feet in height. The petitioner is requesting a 6-foot height variance from the 8-foot maximum to achieve this particular height. In this exhibit along Brian Woods Road, you can see the secondary monument sign that exists on the property as you enter the office complex. This is an exhibit provided by the petitioner of the proposed sign. The proposed sign has an overall height of 14 feet. Petitioner is also requesting a 5-foot, 8-inch sign area variance for the overall sign area. And this is a view coming off the bridge toward, toward Brian Woods Road, which would be on the left here. And this is an example showing the proposed sign. Examples of the type of sign proposed are not present along Brian Woods Road or US Highway 80, really, between Islands Expressway and the subject property. Staff, in review of the sign variance criteria, found that the proposed variances do not meet the criteria for the proposed sign does not meet the criteria for a variance. The intent of the sign ordinance and the environmental overlay, which this property is within, is to manage the impacts of signage, especially in areas that are not heavily commercial, such as this particular area. Brian Woods Road is a designated road and is given additional protections regarding signage. And these additional protections were established during the establishment of the Southeast and Islands Community Plans. Based on these findings, staff is recommending denial of the sign height and sign area variance.
Thank you, Mr. Lobson. Are there any questions for staff at this time?
I'm curious how the designated road ordinance is different from the non-designated road ordinances.
The designated road ordinance, well, I should say the zoning ordinance identifies designated roads. They include roads like Johnny Mercer Boulevard, Whitfield Avenue, Bewley. There's a list of them. Ferguson is one. some of the canopied roads throughout Chatham County. Those sign standards allow or will only permit lower height signs for monument style. It's a maximum of 8 feet, as an example. The other roadways throughout the county, the amount of signage is based on the use and the road classification that the property is on. So those roadways were identified as needing additional protections due to the character of those roadways.
Are there any other questions?
Yes, I have one. Is this proposed sign going in the same location where the monument sign is now?
It is approximately the same location, and I would probably have the petitioner answer that when she's recognized by the chair, but it is in roughly the same location as the existing monument sign.
Thank you.
And for the record, that was Ms. Hitch.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Lotson at this time? Thank you. And we'll hear from the petitioner.
Good morning. I'm Bobby Stevens with AAA Sign Company. And with us today are Paul Hinchy, Jeremy Merklinger, Dr. Julia Michael, Brenda Wallace, and Melissa Allen Foster, all from St. Joseph's Candler. Just by this attendance, you can see how important this sign is to St. Joseph's Candler. Several months ago, we performed a boom
Stevens,
test.
Sorry, I hate to interrupt. I'm just going to swear you in. On
the
record.
Okay. Okay, good.
Do you swear to your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
So several months ago, we performed a flag test using our boom truck and putting up a banner the size of the sign. Mr. Hinchy and Melissa Foster rode up and down Highway 80 going east and west. And this property being on Brian Woods Road is a little misleading because 255 feet of property is on Highway 80, which is a five-lane, 55-mile-an-hour road. The old sign's been there since 2003, which they've had a chance to realize it's really hard for the patients to find it. We continued to raise the banner until they felt that it was just the minimum height that could be seen. Like I said, because Highway 80 is a five-lane highway and vehicles traveling 55 miles an hour, low signs are just not very visible. This also is complicated by the fact on this unique parcel, which sits at the western base of the Turner's Creek Bridge, where their right-of-way is 80 feet behind the edge of the pavement. No other property along this way has that large of a setback. Add that to the fact that on the western slope of the bridge, about halfway up, DOT has put an electronic message board in the right-of-way close to the edge of the road, making visibility more compromised. The vegetation on the property, while it enhances the beauty of the building, also adds to the detriment of seeing the sign. Like I said, from 2003 until now, we've had this sign and realized the problem of it being that low. The doctor's names are 2 feet off the ground, and they're planning on adding many more doctors. Like Mark said, they're going through a big renovation, so they plan on taking more doctors on.
Is there anything additional from the petitioner?
Chairman Marlin?
Who's speaking?
This is Paul Hinchy. I didn't know if you were going to, if this is where I jump in, so to speak, or not.
You can. I'll just swear you in, or?
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Hinchy, do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
The floor is yours.
Will I begin? Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, Chairman Marlin and members of the board, good morning. I think we're all becoming more and more adept at these type of conferences. It's certainly not any of our presence I would have much preferred to be in front of you today, but we are very grateful that you're even allowing us to speak to you. I followed the work of the MPC for years, been through the MPC before as we built numerous buildings around Savannah, and I'd have to say as you vet variance requests and you try to balance that with the interior of the neighborhoods, with all the growth that we're fortunate to experience, it's a real balancing act. And again, thank you just for listening to us. I thought Bobby went over the technical aspects, and I just wanted to briefly touch on the rationale for the vision of this property, because I feel that that is germane to this discussion, especially as that location gets busier and busier and seeing patients. I think I'm going to start, if it's all right, I'm going to stick my neck out a little. As I was driving to my office today, I thought I would share these comments with you and maybe speak for all of you. And I think if there's one thing that we've learned during this COVID-19 experience, and that is that hospitals and health services are essential community services. In my mind, it's just like a fire department. And like a fire department, it needs to be located with access to where people work, and that is critical. And how they find it is also critical, because it's a different type of product, if you will, that is housed in that building. During this pandemic, that health center on Wilmington Island was absolutely swamped. It's swamped right now. People are coming in there for their testing, their prescriptions. Mainly a lot of people come into that building just for reassurance, particularly the elderly that live in that area. And as Bobby said, we opened that building in 2003, and everybody on this call knows what has happened to all of these neighborhoods since 2003. We are living in a different environment. And at that time when that building was open, I remember being at the dedication. You know, we thought it was the latest and the greatest, and we had hit it. They were seeing 25 patients a day. There was nothing out there at the time. Now we've got 3 full-time physicians there, and they're seeing 65 patients a day. And frankly, that building is full, and we've outgrown it because of the growth on that island that everyone, I believe, on this call is familiar. So what are we doing about it? We're expanding the building as large as we can get it, given the variance and the setbacks. So that'll be a 25% increase in space. And that'll allow us to go, as Bobby alluded to, from 3 to 5 full-time physicians. And so the traffic of patients trying to find where we're located will be a little over 110 a day. That's a lot of people. And over the years, I personally received a lot of feedback from patients that the location is hard to find. The location, as Bobby said, blends into the background of that community. And we frankly like that. We like the fact that it looks like a campus, that it's not obtrusive, that it's a brick, that it's tastefully done, because we don't want any eyesores in a person's neighborhood. So we like that. We like the trees that are there. I think it gives it a non-threatening environment for the patients. It's welcoming and it's inviting. But Highway 80 is busy, and it's real busy. As Bobby said, it's 5 to 6 lanes, and they're traveling at 55 miles an hour, and they're all headed someplace. So if a patient is not careful and doesn't know exactly where they're going, I mean, they could get swept out to sea, and then they have to turn around and try to navigate back. So coming over that bridge, heading into town, as the photographs, I think, showed very, very well, that site jumps on you in no time. And if you're not in the right lane or know where you're going, you're going to miss it. So, and I'll also mention something else, which I think everybody on this call has experienced as we've been patients. This is not like going to a restaurant where you're relaxed and you're in a different frame of mind. In addition to that traffic, patients are nervous when they go to a doctor. They're worried. As they're in their car, they're scrolling in their head about all the things they want to do and sit down to talk to their physician about, so they don't miss anything. It's probably the biggest appointment they'll have that day, and they've waited maybe 3 weeks to get in there. And they're thinking about all of that. They're also extremely anxious that after they get in there, unless you're retired, they're worried about getting out to getting to work on time. So there's a lot going on psychology-wise in a healthcare facility that doesn't take place in a retail environment. And that's the genesis for this signage. It's not because it's a retail play. We're not trying to get more customers at the table, things like that. We're not interested in that. It's purely the feedback that we receive from the patients that have used that facility, who are thrilled that we're making that investment, and said, can you do something with the low signage? So, and it's simply, as you saw how low it was, which I think really stood out, and I drove it again this weekend, and I've driven it during the week when that traffic is really busy. And if you're not focused, you're going to go right by it. So we've taken care of the bricks and mortar part of an essential service. We've taken care of the staffing part. We've recruited 5 board certified internal medicine to serve that community. But we need your help, because we really believe that there's a medical hardship on that site that won't be completely cured until we take care of providing tastefully as much visibility as we can, so people can get in and get their health care. So that's really all I wanted to say. Thank you for your consideration. And that's how I would frame it up, as you're trying to vet all good requests that go through your committee. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm back on also. I lost audio for a minute.
Is this Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have anything to add, Ms. Stevens?
I really wanted to add that because of the vegetation, putting a building sign up is also not a way to alleviate this problem. You know, we thought about all our alternatives before we asked for the height variance. like I say, we've lived it for 17 years, so we know the hardships of this particular piece of property. Does anyone have any questions for us?
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Yeah,
thank you. I'll be glad to answer any questions if you have any, Mr. Chairman.
I have a question I'd like to start off with as well. I was just looking on Google Maps and Street View at this area as well. I mean, I've traveled it, but normally I'm driving, so I'm not really looking around very much. And it just happens to pop up that a car is backed up. It's the second car at the light on Brian Woods Road, and you can't see the sign at all behind an SUV. Has that been a problem you all have experienced as well?
Yes, it's been a significant problem. And as I've alluded to, once you miss that turn off, you are off in space. You're either stuck going over that bridge, heading towards Tybee, or you're heading into town. And as I've tried to allude to, patients are nervous. They're anxious. Then they've got to turn around, particularly the elderly. So without lobbying too much, because that's not my intent, it's for them. If it wasn't based on all this feedback, we would have just expanded the building, kept the integrity of the building the way it looks now, hired the physicians, and left it all like it is. But that, frankly, is not working.
Are there any questions from the board? So just remember to say your name and then state your question.
This is David Simons. Memorial has their counter area across the street that, especially if you're looking at the photo that we're looking at on the screen right now, it would be to our right before you cross over Brian Woods Road. How big is their sign? And I know they have a much clearer area than the vegetation you have. How big is their sign if they have one? Because I know they have a Quick RX drug there also.
I'm not sure. Is that for Marcus, maybe, the question? This is Bobby Stevens. I know their setback is not as far back, and you're right. They're very clear there. All their vegetation is gone.
We just saw it on Google Maps that they have a fairly low sign with a bunch of stuff on it also.
If I can address something for a moment, this is Jefferson Kirkland, Chatham County Engineering. The memorial site cleared a buffer without authorization several years ago. So that's one of the reasons why there's less vegetation on that site, and we had to initiate an enforcement action for them to restore that buffer. So I think that's worth bearing in mind.
Thanks you for that addition, Mr. Kirkland.
Yeah, I apologize for interrupting. I think it's important to mention.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
This is Lucy Hitch. I have a question, I think, for Marcus. Why is the setback 80 feet in that location, St. Joseph's location? I believe Bobby Stevens said that the setback from Highway 80 was 80 feet.
Sure, why my audio keeps cutting out.
The width of the right-of-way is beyond what you see is the pavement of Highway 80. So the right-of-way extends into the grass area.
I guess my question is, can this signage be moved, looking at this picture, to the left, closer to the corner rather than tucked back in like it is?
We were not provided a survey by the petitioner, but they may have information on the location of the property line. I think Ms. Stevens had lost her audio. She might be trying to get back on, Mr. Chairman.
I'm back, Bobby Stevens. This sign sits 2 feet behind the right-of-way, which is what is allowed. Really, it's about 4 feet behind, but there are utilities all out in front. There's a utility, because of the building, they've done utilities checks, and there were flags all out in front. Mr. Hinchy and Melissa Foster and I walked it, and you really can move it maybe 2 feet closer, but you would be infringing on the right-of-way if you went any further, and you would also have utilities that you could not dig there.
This is Lucy Hitch. The height needs to be 14 feet above the existing?
No, ma'am, 6 feet above the existing.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Is anyone here to speak on this matter from the public? All right, we've confirmed there's no one to speak on this matter from the public. We can have preliminary discussion. Is there any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I happen to live very close to this area, along with Ms. Ross, and I know Melissa Foster lives in that area also. I'm in favor of them building a higher sign. I think this area, to call this area residential and or set aside wetlands or whatever, because that first, and I don't know, my measurements are probably well off, but that first quarter of a mile to a half a mile, taking the right on Brian Woods Road going east, is all commercial, because there is a acid black building being built across the street. There is a Quick RX drugstore inside the Memorial Health building. You've got the famous Paula Deen restaurant behind this. You've got a row of individual strip businesses, not like a strip mall, but more upscale type of media care and stuff like that. All of it providing, it's both roads are very, very busy. I travel them quite frequently. That first, you know, once you pass that initial round of homes that are on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side is a community park, a county own land that's a trail. So we know nothing's going to be built further down that road as it goes towards Johnny Mercer on both sides, because there's a housing division, etc. It's only at this corner that we're talking about. And the petitioners brought up a good point that the DOT has a blinking light over there warning us about what's going on up there. I see no reason that the sign isn't bigger for both places, because they are both very, very hard to see, especially at dusk, especially in the evenings. Unless you don't know where you're going, and I know Mr. Hinchy was correct in saying that there's not a great turnaround area at all. And both these places aren't very well marked, and they both provide critical needs in the community. So I see no reason why where it's located, especially on the corners where it is heavily trafficked, it is heavily commercialized in that particular intersection. You go down the other end, it's not. But this particular intersection is very heavily commercialized on these two sites. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I understand that we have someone from the public who has raised their hand within the chat room. And I would also just note to all of those non-board members who are on the WebEx to use the raise your hand feature if you'd like to speak, and I'll be notified and we'll recognize you. I understand that Mr. Lovett used the raise your hand feature. Mr. Lovett, do you have comment on this matter?
No, I hit the wrong button.
Okay. Sorry. I can't see who all is in the chat room, so I'm flying blind a little bit.
I have an additional comment. This is Meredith Stone. In also looking at, hello, can you?
I was saying, go ahead, Ms. Stone.
Thank you. In also keeping with the consistency, I understand and appreciate all of the panelists' comments so far that make a very convincing argument as to why this should be taller. Although I understand the intention to protect the integrity of the residential neighborhood beyond, this is a commercial site, and consistent with the other commercial sites, especially the Island Town Center, which is just down the road, the signage is pretty tall and allows for the businesses names and placards to be seen. So I just also wanted to comment with that. I don't think that it's inconsistent for commercial properties along this roadway to have taller signage. That was it.
Mr. Lotson, is there any difference in the zoning or the overlay in this area as compared to down at the Island Town Center part of the road?
Sorry, turn my microphone on. Your question regarding the Island Town Center, it is zoned differently. It is a commercial zoning versus the office zoning designation that's on this property. Relative to signage, it does allow more and taller signage because it's commercially zoned and because it's not on a designated roadway. I think it's important to remember too that regarding the road designation for Brian Woods Road, when those roadway designations were established, I'd say the mid-2000s, the development pattern along here was probably somewhat different. As Mr. Kirkland mentioned, some of the buffer has been removed, unfortunately, along Brian Woods Road. And that the character of that roadway, along with the other designated roadways, was the reason that the monument-style signs were limited to 8 feet versus taller signs that are permitted in more commercially developed districts.
I can see on the screen some of those enforcement trees on the memorial campus that have been planted.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Mr. Simons, I believe, had an additional question.
Mr. Lotson, what is the sign regulation as you go over the creek going towards Tybee? You come to you got a bunch of churches, or a church, but you also have that liquor or convenience store. You got Polk's and a car wash. And then as you go another half block to a block, you've got Chew's on the right, and you've got a Castor Oil place and a bar and a couple of restaurants and some other things over there. What's their sign
And you're talking about in the area where Johnny Mercer yes. intersects with Highway 80?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Both sides of the street there are zoned commercially. The east side, I believe, is strictly commercial. The west side is a zoning designation, or parts of it is a zoning designation called tourist business. So they're both sort of business-oriented mm-hmm. Designations. They do allow more signage than this particular zoning district allows. And they are not within that designated roadway classification. A portion of Johnny Mercer is, but that intersection that you're describing is not.
So in my thought process is basically you have three intersections starting here. One, second one being Quarterman, and the third being Johnny Mercer. Would that be correct?
Yes.
And all of them have relatively either lit signs, and I'm not sure if Memorials or St. Joe's have lit signs. I don't remember. But those, as you go further east towards Tybee, mm-hmm. are less attractive, shall I say, than what they're proposing here.
I think the issue of the sign types, you know, typically you find, at least in my experience, that monument style signs tend to, you know, be somewhat more attractive than, say, a pole sign in some cases. Also, I think you've also got in that area a number of signs that were built, you know, 30 plus years ago. So they may not have aged as well.
But, like William yeah. Seafood?
No comment. But yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of differing sign types along Highway 80, really between Thunderbolt and Tybee. This particular area was designated, and that's the reason that you have this particular sign type and height at this location.
Well, as I see it, you know, we claim it's on Brian Woods Road, and technically, yes, it is, but really it's at the corner of Highway 80 and Brian Woods Road.
Yes.
And so there's a huge difference than just saying it's on Brian Woods Road.
I mean, I don't know if Mr. Blotz can say, but I take it doesn't matter because it's still falling within that same designated area.
Well, because they are they abut Brian Woods, they take access from Brian Woods. That's why it falls within that designation.
But they can't take access on Highway 80.
That's correct.
Whereas yeah, the yeah, Memorial property can.
I don't know that
yeah,
they
can because I drive it all okay. the time. I go to PRX right. extra.
Yeah, they have appears to be a curb or yes, access sir. From the turning lane there from Highway 80.
Well, I'll say for my two cents, I do see the difference in this area, and as you approach Quarterman and then Johnny Mercer, as being different areas, and they're zoned differently, and a lot of work went into the overlay and designating these areas, and the neighbors wanted it then, and went through the process to get it done. So I think respecting that is important. That being said, there are good reasons for this variance, but it doesn't mean you cast aside what's been done and make it look like, you know, the fish place down there. I forget the name of it. I'm not an island guy, but
William Seafood.
Not William Seafood. The
other. Oh, the other place, Flying Fish.
Flying Fish.
No, I understand that, but I just think that this is the one area on this particular roadway, Brian Woods Road, that is completely commercialized and meant to be office. I mean, you got a restaurant there too, so it's not like it's completely all office space. You know, right behind that building is that Paula Deen's restaurant, and I can't remember what she changed the name of it to this week, but. I don't. This is a commercial area on this particular corner.
Is there any other discussion? Are there any additional comments after hearing the discussion from either staff or the petitioner?
We just like to say we appreciate all the input and we appreciate all the understanding. This particular picture up on my screen right now doesn't even show that DOT sign, which is huge. But we appreciate y'all.
Well, I'm not going to make a motion, but for the good of the order, I will say this. Everything this board does has consequences. Fully expect for the memorial folks to probably make a similar request from whatever happens today. That being said, I think there's ample need for this. The Google map I pulled up showed the second car stopped on Brianswood Road completely blocks the Candler St. Joseph sign to where it can't be seen at all if an SUV is sitting there, and that is a busy road. So that being said, I would be in favor of a motion, but
Mr. Chairman,
I just want to finish. And I'll invite a motion at this time.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we depose of the recommendation of staff and go with the petitioners. Is that effective motion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
Once the board member makes a motion, just please identify yourself, when you make your motion, and then also identify which of the findings of fact from the report are you're referencing for your motion. And I don't think we have anybody else in the chat. No. Okay.
All right. This is David Simons, and I'm making a motion that we disregard the disapproval. We grant the variance as requested by St. Joe Candler. Does that work?
This is Lucy Hitch. I'll accept. I would also agree and second it.
All right. This is Quentin Marlin. I would ask to have an amendment to the motion to add that the variance be accepted due to extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to this piece of property as a result of traffic blocking the current sign and as a result of the need of the community to locate a medical facility and the fact that once you cross, if you pass this property going east, it can become disorienting and difficult to locate the property. The amendment's been proposed. Mr. Simons, who made the motion, do you?
I accept the motion.
The amendment?
The amendment.
This is Lucy Hitch. I seconded the motion and I accept the amendment.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll vote and I'll start with Mr. Simons.
I vote in favor
of the motion.
I vote in favor of the motion.
Mr. Corsi.
Aye for the variance in favor of the motion.
Mr. Vinyon.
As you know, I oppose exceptions to the rules and I vote no.
Ms. Hitch.
I vote in favor of the motion.
Ms. Ross.
I vote in favor of the motion.
Ms. Stone.
I vote in favor of the motion.
And this is Quentin Marlin, and I vote in favor of the motion. The motion passes.
Mr. Marlin, may I just remind the property owner that they need to get appropriate permits? And also that because of the tree points on that particular parcel, and I'm not sure what the condition of the vegetation is right now. I'm sure the Google Street View is not up to date, but just, you know, don't cut any vegetation without approval of the county.
Thank you. We have no plan. Kirkland, we have no plan to cut the vegetation.
Okay, that's, you know, we've just had the buffer at the memorial site was damaged, and the buffer on the restaurant site were damaged. So we're slowly and steadily losing the trees in that area. So I just want to make sure we don't have to have the same conversation again that we've had out there with other property owners. I appreciate it, and I'm happy to help you out once you get going, put you in touch with the right people.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
The next item on our regular agenda is 170 Sylvania Road. Petitioner is requesting a variance from section 3-6.1 that requires accessory structure to be located in rear yards. And we'll hear from staff at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petitioner, Peter Gibson Jr., is requesting approval of a variance to section 3-6.1 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance. This section requires that accessory structures be located in rear yards on residential properties. The property is at 170 Sylvania Road, which is approximately 800 feet west of Chevis Road within the Ogeechee Farms area. As you can see on the map on your screen, it's an irregularly shaped parcel. It's approximately 5 acres in size. The majority of the property, however, is encumbered by wetlands, which I'm going to show you on a different exhibit. The petitioner is proposing to locate an accessory building adjacent to an existing residence. And as you can see on this exhibit, the red area identifies existing wetlands around and on the subject property. You can see the existing residence at this location and the road that accesses the property here. The petitioner provided a sketch of the proposed garage located in here adjacent to the existing single-family residence. And due to the location of wetlands on the property and really some sloping that takes place on the back side of the house, they found that it was impossible to locate an accessory building in the rear on this property. This is a view of the existing residence, the gravel road that accesses the property, and you can see an existing paved driveway, parking pad here, and this is the approximate location of the proposed structure. We did not receive any comments from adjoining property owners on this particular petition. I did receive some comments from Chatham County Engineering Department, which identified that should the variance be approved and the petitioner then seek a building permit, they would be required to manage their stormwater runoff during construction and address any or protect from any impacts to the wetlands, but that would be something that would be addressed during construction should the petition be approved. With that, staff is recommending approval of the variance based on the geometry of the lot as well as the impact of the wetlands on the majority of the property. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lotson. Are there any questions for Mr. Lotson? Okay, hearing none, is anyone online to speak on behalf of the petitioner?
Peter Gibson, I'm here, 170 Sylvania Road.
Good morning, Mr. Gibson.
Good morning.
Do you swear that your testimony this morning will be the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
The home is surrounded by wetlands. The only place that we found that we could place the garage is to the side, and because it's on the side, the county says that we have to put it in the back as per the ordinance, and there's no place in the back to place it. So that's why we're requesting that we place it on the side of the home.
Okay.
Now, I'd like to also point out that 170 Sylvania Road is the address, but when you're on Sylvania Road, you cannot even see my residence.
Are there any questions of the petitioner?
Mr. Vineyard, sir, is the garage going to be sort of the same materials as the current residence?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. That's fine with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the petitioner? Thank you. Is anyone here from the public to speak on this matter? If so, please use the raise your hand feature. All right, I've confirmed no one has raised their hand. And Mr. Lotson, did we hear from any neighbors?
No, sir. We did not receive any emails, phone calls, or letters from adjacent property owners.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. Since the staff recommends the variance, I would move that we grant the variance as requested.
Is there a second?
This is Corin Ross. I'll second.
All right, seconded by Ms. Ross. Is there any discussion? All right. Hearing none, we'll vote. Mr. Simons?
Aye.
Mr. Corsi?
Aye.
Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
Ms. Hitch?
Aye.
Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Ms. Stone?
Aye.
And this is Quentin Marlin. I vote aye. Good luck with the build.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. The third item on our regular agenda is 235 Commodore Drive, and it is a fence height variance, and we'll hear from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petitioner, Mr. Davidson, is requesting a variance to the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance to the fence height requirement. The property is located at 235 Commodore Drive. Commodore Drive is on Whitmarsh Island within an R1A environmental overlay zoning classification. It is a conforming lot of record. It's approximately 22,000 square feet in size, and it is developed with a single family residence. Chatham County Zoning Ordinance Section 5-1.3, walls and fences erected in residential districts. This section states in part that walls and fences erected for the specific purpose of providing security for accessory residential uses such as swimming pools and tennis courts may be 10 feet in height, provided such fence shall be set back at least 1 foot from the property line for each foot it exceeds 6 feet in height, and provided such accessory recreational use is located within a rear yard. The subject property, as I mentioned, is developed, and the previous owner did install a swimming pool on the property. This is a map of the property just showing the location on Commodore Drive, highlighted here. As you can see, it's a property that abuts marsh. This is a aerial photograph of the residence located here. This is the approximate fence line identified here in red, and the petitioner's swimming pool is here. The petitioner has built, has constructed a privacy fence along that fence line that you see before you. The fence is 14 feet in height and 44 feet in length along that portion of the eastern property line. The intent of the fence was to provide screening from the adjacent residence, which is a three-story home with two floors over parking. The construction of the wall was completed without a permit from Chatham County. Subsequently, a permit has been applied for. the ordinance does not permit fences up to 10 feet in height for, or does permit fences up to 10 feet in height for accessory recreational uses, but it requires them to be located in rear yards and to be set back 1 foot for each foot in height over 6 feet. So the proposed wall does not comply with the zoning ordinance. This is a photograph of the proposed wall, or the existing wall rather, I'm sorry, at 14 feet in height, and this is a portion of the overall length that has already been constructed. I should also mention that Chatham County Engineering provided us a letter from the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Coastal Resources Division. They did a visit to the property at the county's request, and I just received this, but we'll provide it to the board. But I just want to read into the record the findings. It states in section 4 on this letter dated 6/19, staff conducted a site visit on 6/18/2020 at the request of Chatham County Department of Engineering. It was found that a portion of the newly constructed wall extended in jurisdictional coastal marshlands and must be removed marshward of the last pile in the ground. A compliance inspection of the dock was also revealed, a run-up float we did not have on file. Please send in new drawings so we can update our records and photos once the section of the wall has been removed. And that was provided by Catherine Cummins of the Georgia Department of Natural Resources. Based on staff's review of the petition and the nature of the existing wall, we found that it did not meet the criteria to have a variance granted, and we recommend denial of the petitioner's request, which is essentially to maintain the existing wall at 14 feet in height and 44 feet in length. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lawson. As I asked for any questions, will you pass that letter? And
yeah, I'm going to bring that up to take a look at it.
Is that what you were wanting to?
Mr. Lawson, can you repeat that last little bit that you were talking about? I wasn't sure what your recommendation was.
Oh, sure. We reviewed the variance criteria as well as the other information provided by DNR in our conversations with county staff. Based on those findings, we recommend denial of the petitioner's request. His request essentially is technically the request is a 4 foot height variance because a variance to allow the fence in the side yard. As I mentioned earlier, a 10-foot high fence could be permitted within a rear yard per the ordinance, but it is not permitted within side yards. So his request would be to allow the 14-foot high fence within the side yard. And we're recommending denial of that request.
Mr. Lawson, this is Mr. Vineyard. Fence was constructed without a permit.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
The fence is not within guidelines as I read them in any way. It's in the side yard rather than the rear yard. It's too high, and frankly, I think it's an eyesore. So you're recommending that the variance be denied and the fence come down. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir, Mr. Vineyard. And
thank you.
This is Mr. Corsi. Mr. Lawson, one thing that struck me about this wall as I was looking at the photograph is it's hurricane season. Are there any hurricane regulations affecting walls like this? I mean, this thing looks like a projectile waiting to happen.
Yes, sir. As I understand it, and if the county engineer's office is still on the line, they might comment on this as well. But a fence, even at the 10-foot height that's permitted within rear yards, would have to meet the county's building code through the permit process, which this fence did not go through.
Mr. Lawson, besides the one email from the owner of 234 Commodore, and I assume that's across the street?
That is two doors down.
Okay. So not adjacent to the wall? Correct. Did we hear anything from the neighbor adjacent to the wall?
Only by telephone.
Yeah. What did we hear from them?
I believe their position is that they're opposed, and they may be on the line today to discuss that as well.
Yeah. Any other questions of staff at this time? Mr. Kirkland, have you been out to this property, or is it just state DNR?
This is Jefferson Kirkland with Chatham County Engineering. I did a site visit. It's been a little while. I can't remember the exact date, but the only thing that I saw that concerned me was the possibility that the fence was constructed in the marsh, which Coastal Resources Division determined it was, or at least a portion. Technically there's probably a buffer on this lot, but I think the disturbance of actually installing that particular fence was minor. And I felt like the marsh impact was the real issue in terms of what my department is responsible for. And that's why I made the call to Coastal Resources Division. But so, short answer, yes, I've been to the site. If there's anything I can help you with.
Right. Thank you. Is anyone here to present on behalf of the petitioner?
Yes. This is the petitioner, Guy Davidson.
All right. Mr. Davidson, do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
I do. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and the rest of the body. Again, this is Guy Davidson, and I live at 235 Commodore Drive. And let me start off by saying that, you know, we in light of what was just said, it was, you know, pretty negative, but we are trying to be good neighbors here. And have communicated extensively with our, you know, immediate neighbor. And while, you know, we understand that there's some, you know, concern, we've got pretty limited options here. And, you know, we met with our neighbor prior to tearing down the fence, the old fence, which was in the same location, and prior to, you know, setting the new posts, and continue to have, you know, ongoing dialogue to try to come up with the best solution that's, you know, meets our mutual objective of creating, you know, some sense of privacy for our respective houses. And we're friends, friends don't always have the same opinion about things, and that's fine. When we bought this property, we filed for a building permit to renovate the property, and we have an active permit for the renovation of the home and the property, but I guess the fence was not part of that and didn't realize we needed a separate permit for the proposed fence. So that's the only reason it was built without a permit. We had a permit in hand, it just wasn't specific to the fence. And we've since, once we realized we needed a permit, we submitted to the Chatham County Building Department, and we received a permit for this exact fence. So it did go through, it was engineered by a structural engineer. It did go through the permitting process. So with respect to wind loads, et cetera, it meets all the requirements. Now, after the county issued the building permit, probably a week later, they communicated that they made a mistake and that I actually needed to come to the ZBA board for a variance, because even though the height was clearly listed on the documentation, it was above the county, you know, maximum height. Just wanted to get that on the record. And regarding the DNR's letter, we'll absolutely comply with their request to pull the wall back a few feet from its existing location, or, you know, basically cut off the end of the wall, and also submit documentation on the jet dock. The jet dock was put in, the floating dock was put in by the previous owner, so it came with the house, but apparently they did not submit documentation to the DNR, and the DNR has no problem with it being there. They just want their records updated, so we'll certainly comply with that. And then as regarding the location of the end of the fence, we put we installed this replacement fence in the same location as the old fence. So I guess the old fence also had the same issue with where it extends over the DNR line. So we'll remedy that situation. So the, you know, the purpose of this fence is to buffer noise from, you know, my kids playing in the pool and also to create screen, you know, screening of sight lines between both my neighbor and I. And, you know, the previous owner installed the pool 5 feet from the sideline of this property. The pool was installed in 2013 and we bought the house in 2018. And at the time when the pool was constructed, and also at the point we bought our house, you know, the lot next door was vacant. It was owned historically by a family trust of one of the original developers in the neighborhood, and it was a vacant lot for roughly 40 years. And so the previous owner of our home never had a concern, you know, of a house overlooking the pool. And so they, I guess, maybe they assumed it would never be built. I don't know. I would never assume that, but I can't speak for them. And so they built the pool on the side of the house because they had no other options in the rear, which I'll explain in a minute. And they constructed a 6-foot fence along the property line, which was fine when there's a vacant lot. But since that time, the lot sold and my neighbor's house was completed about a year ago, which is a beautiful house and complements the neighborhood and you know, nothing wrong with it. And because we're all in the flood zone, they, with new construction, like most any house built in the flood zone these days, there's a garage on grade and then living areas on the second and third floor. And so by, you know, no fault of their own and no fault of ours, we have this situation where there's, you know, a home with living areas elevated above the, you know, house, looking down onto a pool that was built on the side of the house by the previous owners. And so, you know, neither our neighbors nor us are bad actors here. We're just trying to remedy the situation that neither of us intended to cause, or neither of us did cause, I guess, to be frank. And it's caused by the fact that the neighboring lot was vacant and the previous owners just didn't think about, you know, future consequences of putting the pool on the side. A couple of quick points and then I'll yield my time here. But regarding the staff report, a couple of things. I do believe there are extraordinary conditions pertaining to the property because of its shape. I think you can see on the aerial that Marcus has on the screen here. These properties are on a cul-de-sac, and so they have their pie shape with irregular lines. And we also have a marsh setback to the rear. Staff notes that the geometry of the lot is strange and that the width of the side yard is limited, and we agree. These extraordinary conditions left the previous owners with only one viable option to locate a swimming pool. We believe the application, as the rules, rules as written, does create an unnecessary hardship. You know, unfortunately, with the house next door built roughly 10 feet off the ground, a 6-foot tall fence does not provide the desired privacy for both parties. And additionally, because the pool is so close to the property line, we can't step back the fence for 1 foot for every additional foot in height, because then the wall's on top of the pool. There's just no room to step it back, unfortunately. And I do not believe relief, if granted, would cause unnecessary hardship to the public good or neighbors. As you can see from the photo of the fence line, my neighbor's house faces away from the fence. And so we were very careful, so we don't feel like we're blocking, you know, any views. And we are careful to look at the various sight lines and do our best to minimize the massing of the wall. It is stepped down as you go towards the marsh, and then we're planning to also step it down going the other direction. We've identified a portion of the wall back towards the street that's currently framed, which could be reduced in height without sacrificing, you know, privacy. So we're going to do that. And if approved, we plan to cover the wall. Somebody mentioned it was an eyesore. I agree. It's a plywood wall currently, but that's not the final state. We were, you know, stopped mid-construction. So the plan is to cover with a hard coat stucco, and both my neighbor and I plan to let ivy grow up and extensively cover the wall, as well as add wash lighting to create a high-end feel. So it will not be an eyesore once it's finished. It is an eyesore now because it was stopped mid-construction. You know, there are really only two houses that can see this fence, us and our immediate neighbor. As you saw in the packet, we did receive letter of support from one of our neighbors. And while we do not have a letter of support from our immediate neighbor, we also did not think that they were opposed to it. Sounds like maybe there's some conflict there, but in their neutrality or opposition, our assumption was that because they didn't object, that they were neutral in the matter, and others neither supported it or objected to it. But in closing, you know, we're attempting to remedy a situation that was not caused maliciously by anyone involved. In fact, we've gone above and beyond a reasonable level of communication before, during, and after we framed the fence. My neighbor and I agree with the adage that fences make for good neighbors, and I sincerely hope you consider granting this appeal, considering the extraordinary conditions with this property and the limited options we have to achieve the mutual objective of creating some level of privacy between neighbors.
Thank you, Mr. Davison. Do you have any renderings? Do we have any renderings of what the wall is going to look like in the end?
Yes, I actually emailed an exhibit to Marcus this morning. I don't know if he's able to pull it up. For some reason, it didn't get included in the initial package, but it was designed by a landscape architect, and again, once completed, it's going to be a beautiful privacy fence. So maybe go to the next page. Yeah, so that red line is approximately the length of the taller section of fence. And then that last exhibit shows what our intended final plan would be. I stopped it short after seeing that DNR letter. You know, that's approximately where we'd be pulling the end of the fence back. I believe it's about 6 feet, 6 or 8 feet. Just of note also, the fence does not encroach 6 or 8 feet into the marsh. I think it's like 2 feet, but the recommendation was to pull it back to the next post, which was 6 or 8 feet from the end. So, and we'll just do that. The end, I guess, screen right is currently not notched down, but we're going to notch it down to sort of match the other step down on the other side in order to do our best to minimize the massing.
Mr. Davidson, Corin Ross here. Can you elaborate a little bit on your conversations with your neighbor in terms of their feelings about the fence?
Sure. You know, I think they understand where we're coming from. They are not opposed to having a fence. I mean, there was already one there, but they're not opposed to us replacing the fence and making it taller. Their concern is not making it taller than necessary, and our concern is consistent with that. Beyond that, it's hard to speak specifically for them.
Thank you. Marcus, is there anything from the neighbor that can be shared with us?
Mr. Ross, we have not received any letters or emails from the immediate adjacent property owner.
Okay, somewhere in the documents that we just kind of flipped through, I thought I saw an email from Bates Lovett.
Mr. Ms. Ross, Mr. Lovett, I believe, is on the phone, so he'll have an opportunity if he has something to say.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions of the petitioner? Hearing none. Is anyone here from the public to speak on this matter? And if so, please use the raise hand feature and we'll recognize you. We're not getting anyone raising their hands yet. Are there still people from the public in the? I believe Mr. Kirkland is. I think that's what you said. Mr. Kirkland asked.
Mr. Chairman, Corin Ross again. I'll just interject for a minute. I live in this neighborhood. I have been walking past this fence during its construction. I'm intimately familiar with Mr. Davidson's house because I actually looked at it before he bought it. And I understand the Hobbesian dilemma with the code requirements that resulted in a very, very large structure having been constructed on a formerly vacant lot. But I really need to know what the neighbor thinks about this before I know how to vote.
The neighbor received notification of this hearing. So they're not on the, I don't know who the neighbor is, but if the neighbor's not on the.
The neighbor's Mr. Lovett.
Is Mr. Lovett still on the line? I don't know if the raise the hand feature is working. I just want to make sure we're not missing someone if they're trying to participate.
Ms. Ross, I have the same concern. It is an eyesore the way it looks. However, that remedy apparently will change, but I am extremely concerned over the how this has been done. And I don't know that I would be willing to vote for it until I heard from the other neighbor. I mean, it obviously affects him and his property no end to have this thing on his side yard.
Well, exactly. And again, Marcus, I don't know if you still have all of those emails back and forth, but I just remember seeing a header that had Bates in the address line.
Ms. Ross, I don't know the content of that email. And for Mr. Lawson to open it now, it might be private. I don't think it's for
okay.
Us to
that's fine.
Open
that's hearing. I saw it in the context of this presentation, and I assumed it was germane.
Mr. Marlin, Jefferson Kirkland with Chatham County Engineering. That exhibit that was just shown with the landscape plan is, that's the first time I've seen that. I've not had a chance to do a buffer determination out here. That looks, I'm sure it's fine, but you know, I need to, the property owner needs a buffer determination before they do a lot of extensive work. And they're also gonna need a state jurisdictional determination for the coastal marshlands from CRD before I can tell them anything definitive about buffers. And I don't know, they may already have one, but I don't have any documentation showing that.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. It seems to me there are too many questions about this.
I don't think we're at that
point. Oh, yet. I'm sorry.
We need to stay in order. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the petitioner. I just wanted to address Mr. Kirkland's
question, if I may.
Okay. Let's everyone hold off 1 second. Within the room, staff is trying to take care of a couple of things technically. So everyone can just pause for a moment.
Hey, this is Mr. Lovett. I can speak if called upon.
All right, I think we've fixed whatever glitches we were figuring out. And I believe the petitioner had wanted to respond to Mr. Kirkland. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, this guy Davidson. Mr. Kirkland, that's not a problem. Just to point out, the landscape architecture plan is just, you know, conceptual in nature. It's just giving us sort of inspiration on what their recommendations are. But of course, we will comply now that I know that there are some additional things to consider. We'll get a determination letter completed, and then if there are any permitting considerations for anything in that area of the yard, we'll now that we know, we will move in that direction before proceeding with any improvements beyond the fence.
Jefferson Kirkland here. Sure. And I'll be happy to help you kind of coordinate what you need to do. I can give you like a general buffer determination, but I can't give you anything definitive until the state marks their line. So it just makes more sense for that to happen before I go out there. I'll be happy to make a site visit. You know, 24 hours notice is about all I need. Usually I can do it faster. So once you get a determination, then I can quickly get you a letter and give you advice on how best to proceed. And it's possible that your property qualifies for an exemption from the buffer, but you'll just have to look into the regulation and see if you've got anything there.
Understood.
Okay, I understand Mr. Lovett has raised his hand.
This is Davidson. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I swear you in, since you're not presenting as an attorney, even though you are one. So do you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I do.
Go ahead.
All right. So Guy is right. Mr. Davidson, my next door neighbor, who I agree I like, our families like one another, is right with just about everything that he has said. I am in this awkward position where I am, just truthfully, I'm also the city attorney for the city of Savannah. So I have some supervisory issues regarding the MPC. And although it's Chatham County Board of Zoning is different from MPC, it's a fine line for me to walk to get involved. So I reached out to kind of what's our boss in the municipal law world, which is the GMA, and asked the GMA about their opinion on my participation in this. And the response I got back was, Mr. Lovett, you're in the business of enforcing codes and ordinances. And so when you start agreeing to variances outside of what's written in the code, you're going to open yourself up to problems. And you just don't want that information out there if it in fact, you know, becomes public. He said, I mean, this is all from him. He said, look, I know there's a lot going on in the news right now, but you wouldn't want this article in the news right now. So what I could consent to and what I worked through, and Guy, I'm not trying to go around you, Guy is represented by Robert McCorkle, Robert McCorkle contacted me about this matter, and as the lawyers on this panel will know, once a lawyer is involved, I must speak with the lawyer and not the neighbor, and I told Robert that I'd be comfortable talking with Guy if Robert would allow me to do so, but I just didn't want it to be awkward or unethical. So what I can consent to is 10 feet along the line, because that is within the code. It's not a variance significantly from what's already written in the Chatham County ordinance, and that's what I can agree to.
Thank you for that input, Mr. Lovett.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to speak. This is Lucy Hitch.
Go ahead, Lucy.
I feel that we also have to consider if we allow this fence to be above the permitted height, that we would be opening a opportunity for other people to do so. And in that neighborhood, I don't think that is appropriate.
Okay, we'll get to the discussion in a moment.
Okay.
Is there anyone else from the public to speak on this matter? Either attempt the raise your hand feature, and if not, that doesn't work, just say something so we know. Or the chat feature.
I have a question of Mr. Lovett.
There wasn't any follow-up question.
Yeah, I think it may. I found out what the question was. I think it might be more for staff, which was my next question. Does anyone have any questions of staff?
Marcus, Bates Lovett said it was 10 feet, or that the height that he would accept, but wasn't that only for the backyard?
Yes, sir. The way the ordinance reads is that for the specific screening of recreational amenities, a maximum of 10 feet is permitted within rear yards. So a 10-foot wall in the side yard would still be a variance, or would still require a variance.
Are there any other questions of staff? Okay. Are there any additional questions for the petitioner? Okay. Is there any motion to be made? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. It seems to me there are too many questions. I mean, even the agreement, if there is one, would not conform to what has been proposed. And I would move that this matter be deferred to the next meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals until the proposal conforms with either the zoning ordinance, or we have a report from DNR, or all of the matters that have been brought up here have been taken care of. I'm not in a position to vote one way or the other.
This is Corinne Ross. I would second Mr. Vineyard's motion.
So opening that for discussion, I would just say we've many times passed voted with contingencies that approvals be met afterward. I personally don't see that as a reason to continue. The parties are here, the neighbors here and have spoken. We know what the request is. We know what the alternative ask seems to be, basically from the neighbor. And we know what the contingencies of approval would be that would need to be done before a building permit would be issued. So I feel we have the contingencies we need. We don't need them to complete it, or else there's so many hundreds of petitions we would have continued because we've made them contingent on DNR approval.
And I would second what the chairman's saying with the fact that a lot of these things can be kicked the can down the road to avoid making tough decisions or making any decision. And it's not fair to the petitioners to be stuck again for 30, 90, 60, 90 days, whatever it takes for them to, they need a decision now so they can move forward in their processes to do what they need to do.
Is there any further discussion on the motion that's on the floor? If not, we'll call for a vote. And on Mr. Vineyard's motion to continue the matter. Simons?
Nay.
Mr. Corsi?
Nay.
Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
Ms. Hitch?
Nay.
Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Ms. Stone?
Nay.
And for Mr. Quentin Marlin, nay. All right, the motion does not carry. Kind of open discussion since before we have another motion. My two cents, the neighbor seems to be okay with a 10-foot fence. This fence is along the same line where a 6-foot fence already existed, which would have been grandfathered in, presumably. It was already there. Probably for a long time, I would assume.
Well, a 6-foot fence in the side yard would have been a permitted fence.
Would have been permitted. So there were, the alternative here is for a 4-foot height variance and a location variance. So the 6-foot fence would not have been approved for the location, though?
Yes, it would have, at 6 feet.
And I think if contingent upon removal out of the marsh pursuant to EPDs or DNR, and just staying on that same line might be something that's palpable. This really affects the two neighbors. It's not out in the public. So it's just my thoughts.
Mr. Chairman, this is the petitioner. Would you like me to...
Mr. Davidson.
Opine it. Or no.
I'm sorry. This is just discussion amongst the board right now.
No problem.
Yep.
Corinne Ross here. Again, I live in the neighborhood, and so certainly I'm not affected by the fence. I just want to make sure that we're doing the right thing here. If I understood the drawings presented by the petitioner, a portion of the fence would drop to 10 feet. The rest of it would stay at 14. So it doesn't sound to me like that 10-foot solution is going to be something that the petitioner is going to be amenable to. I certainly could be wrong there.
Mrs. Ross?
Yes.
I think they agreed, or I think that Mr. Lovett agreed to 10 feet.
Yes.
The whole fence be 10 feet.
Yes.
And that's where the agreement.
And that's where the agreement fails, as best I can tell, because it looks to me like Mr. Davidson would like to keep it at 14. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here.
I don't think anyone's asked Mr. Davidson that. I was just curious what the will of this body was, and if the will of this body were to go to something of that nature, then I think we could ask him, but I don't know if that would have support or not.
Well, I'd like to make a motion then.
Is there any other general discussion or thoughts from other members before?
I have a comment. In general, I agree and echo what Mr. Chairman has said regarding the alternative being 10 feet, which is still a variance, but a 4-foot addition to the height allowance, which is comfortable as discussed by neighbor and by the property owner. So I would be in favor of allowing that.
Thank you, Ms. Stone. And this is Quentin Marlin again. That's maybe a question for you, Marcus. I'm just looking at this photo of the, if you pull, maybe pull this one up, so everybody can see what I'm looking at. I mean, I know this is technically side yard with the angle of this house, but it does strike me as a more peculiar shaped lot and kind of having a backyard feel with a pool over there. It's just for my 2 cents. But I think there could be some reasoning here for a slight variance, but not a huge one. If there's no other general discussion, we can entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer a motion. My motion would be that we allow a variance of 10 feet, if agreeable by both neighbors. I'm sorry. No higher than 10 feet. 4-foot variance. Yes. As long as that's agreeable by both neighbors, and if they agree to that, and the other terms and conditions set by other governing bodies are met and it meets the protocols that you all go through to see that it's done correctly. And as long as both neighbors are in agreement, I would have no objection and offer a motion that's based on both neighbors in agreement.
Is there a second? All right, hearing no second. Well, I'll just tell folks we voted to not continue. So at this point, someone's gonna have to make a motion to do something.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. I move we deny the variance.
Is there a second?
This is Lucy Hitch. I will second that.
I would just add for discussion, a denial of this variance most likely means what, Marcus? Can you?
Mr. Chairman, if the variance is denied, the petitioner will essentially have two options. One would be to remove the existing fence that's currently under construction. And then the other option would be to replace the existing fence with a conforming fence, not to exceed, I believe, 6 feet in height.
Thank you. So that would result in a fence that essentially, privacy fence that provides no privacy. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote. Mr. Simons?
I vote nay.
Mr. Corsi?
Corsi votes aye.
Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
Ms. Hitch?
Aye.
Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Ms. Stone?
Nay.
And I also vote nay. And the motion passes, so the variance is denied. All right, that's wraps up agenda item number four. There's no other items on our regular agenda. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward? Hearing none, we stand adjourned. Thank you.